Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm Jace. This is a Valiant Sunday episode. Yep, Sunday once again, time to talk some Valiant comics. And the comic I'm going to be talking about today is Ninja K number 3, or some of you may prefer to call it Ninjak number 3. The creative team, it's written by Christos Gage. Main story art by Thomas Giarello with Roberto Della Torre. And the backup story has art by Ariel Olivetti. So before we get into this specific episode or issue, I should say itself, Ninja K number 3, just a quick background for those of you who may not be familiar with Ninjak. So Ninjak's probably my second favorite character in the Valiant Universe, after Bloodshot. He debuted in the original Valiant in 93 with a chromium cover. And if I remember right, it was a huge seller. It was a chromium cover by Joe Quesada. And I think it was the first time that a Valiant title was like number one for the month. But if you look at the original Valiant, a lot of the characters that were kind of there from the beginning, you know, kind of the brainchild of, or brain children, I guess you'd say, of Jim Shooter, you know, characters like Exo Manowar, Magnus, Eternal Warrior. You know, these were the characters that were kind of there from the beginning. Even Archer and Armstrong, to some extent, they're part of Jim Shooter's vision. And, you know, Rye came a little later, and Bloodshot as well. And then Shooter left, and Ninjak was really the first character, if I remember correctly, that came along after Shooter left. And I don't think Shooter necessarily had anything to do with the creation of Ninjak. So I kind of think of him as the biggest character, or the most important character that came kind of in that second wave of the original Valiant. I mean, there were others for sure, you know, like the Hardcore and Secret Weapons and such. But I think the one that really resonated and had the most potential was Ninjak. And then when Valiant relaunched in 2012 with Exo Manowar, again, Ninjak was one of the first this time around. He wasn't at all in kind of the second tier of characters introduced. He debuted in Exo Manowar 5, so very early on. And he's been a pretty instrumental part of the Valiant Universe since then. He didn't have his own title right away, but he was he appeared quite a few times in different titles. Exo Manowar, as I said, he was in a few issues of that. And he was a member of Unity, you know, showed up in all those issues, and then got his own title by Matt Kent eventually, that went 27 issues. And then when that ended, he was in Rapture for 4 issues, traveling to the Dead Side for a mission with Punk Mambo and Shadow Man. And now he's in Ninja K by this new creative team. And honestly, when I read these first 3 issues, because I hadn't read, I mean, love Ninjak, but I hadn't read any of Ninja K until I wanted to do the episode about Ninja K number 3 coming out this week, which would be the, let's see, the 24th? Yeah, that's right. The 24th of January. Sorry, I just had to do the math here because I'm recording this a few days before Wednesday, of course. But I wanted to get caught up. You know, I'd read the Matt Kent series, hadn't read the Rapture series, hadn't read any of the Ninja K series. So read Rapture, read the Ninja K series. And while I was reading it, what really came to mind is in the way that Bloodshot Salvation has taken the character of Bloodshot to the next level, that's what Ninja K is doing for Ninjak. If there's any difference between the two, obviously Bloodshot Reborn, which preceded Bloodshot Salvation, was written by Jeff Lemire, who is the same creator who's working on Bloodshot Salvation. So he's kind of stepped up his game and taken Bloodshot to the next level, kind of all on his own. And for all I know, that, you know, that had been planned all along. What's interesting about the Ninjak situation is Matt Kent had been writing him in his solo title, and great job. It's high quality. It's great, great book. Loved it. But he's kind of given the reins over now to Christos Gage. And with so far with these first three issues of Ninja K, man, the bar has been raised. What Christos has done is just added so much layering on top of that foundation that Matt had built. So for those of you, again, not familiar with Ninjak, just to give a brief rundown, his name's Colin King. He's British. He's a ninja, but he also he works freelance, but does a lot of work for MI6, which is the British Secret Intelligence. And this new version of Ninjak that we see in the current Valiant universe, he was kind of, I guess, a entry-level spy, if that's a term or a thing, with MI6. When, you know, we see his origin early on in the issues of the Ninjak series, in the backups. And so he was a spy. He made some rookie mistakes, fell in love with his handler. She ended up getting supposedly killed because of him. And there was all that going on. And he ended up kind of, I don't know, for lack of a better term, going on a walkabout, ended up in this mysterious monastery, trained to basically control his entire body at the cellular level. And be this incredible fighter. And then that's kind of where we're left with that origin story. And next thing we know is he's kind of a freelance, you know, assassin slash super spy. Bit of James Bond, you know, very charming with the ladies and this and that. But, you know, incredible with fighting and weapons and... in some stories, he's been called the smartest man in the Valiant universe, always able to think ahead and outwit his opponents. You know, just based on the writer, that aspect of him is played up or not. But there's definitely, when you look back at his history, some blank spots. You know, I imagine that when MI6 just assumed he was dead when he went on this supposed walkabout, just kind of disappeared and then showed back up years later. And as Ninjak and, you know, working as freelance, what have you. So what's interesting is that in this new version, again, there's so many more layers than in the original. In the original, it was just like, think James Bond, but he has ninja abilities. Cool concept, right? But everything's on the surface. What the Valiant writers have done this time around is really had so much layering. They've added that tragic past, and there's things that with his parents and his upbringing that bring in even more of that kind of tragedy. And from the beginning, with the way everyone who's written Ninjak has treated him, you really get that sense of kind of a tragic hero, but yet he's absolutely so competent and so lethal at what he does that it's such a dichotomy, and it leads to an interesting character, right? So what Matt Kent did in his 27 issue run on Ninjak was really tell some great action stories, and anything we learned about Ninjak was kind of secondary to that action, which was great. I mean, there were some really enjoyable stories, and there were certainly consequences that from Ninjak's past that came into play. We certainly got to know him through the flashback sequences that Matt did, and it was incredible storytelling and really high quality. And Matt really took what was there from the original Valiant and Ninjak character and built upon it. right? Just expanded it, enriched it. And now I feel like what Christos Gage has done in the first three issues of Ninja K is we've taken that leap again, right? Like, Matt didn't ignore what came before in the original Valiant, but he just took it to the next level. He took what was there before, added to it, enriched it, and took it to the next level. And now I feel like Christos Gage has taken that next step. He's taken what Matt had, and he's enriching it, and he's taken it to the next level. And although his first three issues are certainly action-packed, there's plenty of action. You know, no one can say otherwise. But he's set it up so that the situation Ninjak finds himself in is so interesting and so unexpected. It's really coming out of left field, but it has the potential to impact who Ninjak is. He has to question, you know, everything he knew about himself from as far back as he can remember, because of the situation he finds himself in. And so that's so interesting. It's almost like Ninjak is going to have to rediscover who he is, and we get to discover it along with him in this backdrop of secrets and betrayal and action and super spy and government involvement. And it's just so amazing. And on top of all of that, much like what Jeff Lemire's done over in Bloodshot with introducing these previous versions of Bloodshot, we find out that, and it's right there in the title of the series, right? Ninja K. So it's not, maybe it never was Ninjak. That's just what everybody called him. But actually, when you look back through the history of MI6, there was a Ninja A, a Ninja B, a Ninja C, a Ninja D, all the way up through Ninja K, and which is the Ninjak that we know, Colin King. So he's introducing all these other previous versions that have worked for MI6, and that opens up a whole new door to tell new stories about these previous ninjas, and it ties into this main overall story that he's telling, where we're finding out, along with Ninjak, that maybe everything that there is to know about him is a lie, and what comes from that. So let me get into some of the specifics of issue 3. So as I said, Ninjak is on the trail of trying to discover why someone has killed one of the previous ninjas, Ninja D. And he comes to find out that it's actually Ninja C who killed Ninja D, and he tracks down, and at that point, when the issue starts, I should say, he's not sure, right? He's like, Ninja D retired as an active agent. He was working some kind of black bag desk job, and it's at a certain location, and so he goes there to try to discover what happened. Ninja C shows up. They start fighting. And what's interesting is, so instead of just being the typical when two heroes meet, not that Ninja C is necessarily a hero or not, and the case could be made for Ninjak as a hero or not. You know, he certainly has no qualms or second thoughts about killing. But Ninjak's able to convince him, hey, I want to know what's going on. We don't have to necessarily fight. I'm happy to call a truce so that you can tell me what's going on and why you're doing what you're doing. And Ninja C is actually happy to kind of give his origin story and tell Ninjak what's going on and where he's coming from. So a lot of this issue 3 is really the origin of Ninja C. And as the story goes on, it starts to make more and more sense. It starts to tie in with some of the flashbacks and some of the previous ninjas we've seen in issue 1 and issue 2 of Ninja K, and the way things are And again, Christos has really managed to take a lot of what Matt Kent did, kind of the foundation of this version of Ninjak, and incorporate it, but at the same time kind of turn it on its side. So it still makes sense with things that we've seen before and believed to be true about Ninjak, but we're seeing him in a new way, in a more sinister way. And it makes a lot of sense. And it's also, in its own way, kind of terrifying, and kind of sad and just really brutal when you stop and think about it. And so throughout this conversation that Ninja C has with Ninjak or Ninja K, we start to believe, along with, you see Ninjak starting to believe as well, that Ninja C is actually doing what he's doing for a reason, and he may in fact not be the bad guy. It may in fact be someone else or some other organization that's really, when you look at it objectively from the outside looking in, that's really to blame here and really the one that needs to be taken to task. So, again, an incredible story. I'm reluctant to give too many more details or go too far into the story, as far as specific plot points, because there are a lot of surprises. There are a lot of oh crap moments in these first three issues, and I think issue three really kind of opens up the box to where you look back at issue one and issue two and go, oh man, yeah, that's crazy that's the case. And so I don't want to give away too much. I want you to all go out and read it for yourselves. But man, if you're a Valiant fan and you're not reading Ninja K, you have to pick up this book. It's one of their strongest titles, and I feel like it's really gonna have repercussions on the Valiant universe and the character of Ninjak going forward. So high quality. I've read a lot of Christos Gage work over the years, actually. His ROM work, his work on creator and work for Avatar Press, which was called Absolution, which was really amazing. Some of his Spider-Man work, his previous work for Valiant on Bloodshot. So read a lot of his work, and this may be the best of his stuff I've ever read. It's absolutely incredible. So if you're a Valiant fan, you know how much they pride themselves on best idea wins and quality first. And there's no doubt that this book is absolutely incredible. If you're not a Valiant fan, I encourage you to go and pick this up. You don't need to know anything else about any previous Valiant title or the Valiant universe. I think you can pick up Ninja K with issue one and start reading it and catch on pretty quickly with what's going on. And I think the story is super compelling, and you'll be hooked right away. So I really, really encourage you to go and pick it up. There's also backup stories in all the issues. And the backup story in issue three is about Ninja A, the very first ninja who actually came over to fight for on the side of the British during World War I on loan from Japan. So, you know, Japan was on the same side as Britain in World War I, unlike World War II. And at some point, and this is explained in the first issue of Ninja K, at some point the British government or military or intelligence realized that Ninja A wasn't always going to be on their side. You know, he wasn't always going to be fighting for them. Maybe he would retire or get killed or just go back to Japan. And so one of the things they had him do was start training other people to take his spot. That's how we end up with Ninja B and then Ninja C and so on and so on. So the backup story is about a mission that Ninja A goes on against Germany to stop some poison gas from being released over London, I think it is. But it's a compelling story. The art by Ariel Olivetti is really cool. And it's just fun to see these old flashbacks of different ninjas. I imagine the backup stories will continue with some of the other ninjas going forward. And in fact, the cover for issue four shows a black woman, and it says the origin of Ninja G. So I imagine that's going to be she's going to feature prominently in a Ninja K number 4, which is on sale February 14th, which is Valentine's Day. And it's a really cool image of her with a big band in the background by Cafu. I do have to say, though, I do get a little bit of a 70s vibe from it because she has this big afro. And I just have to say that it doesn't seem very practical to me. And I know you have to take it all with a grain of salt. You know, it's comic books, it's superheroes, it's, you know, it's all, you know, suspension of disbelief. But I just feel like if somebody's trained as a super assassin and a ninja and to leave no trace and be super crowded or whatever, they wouldn't have a giant afro. It just doesn't seem very practical to me. So I don't know. Like I said, just a little nitpick. But as long as I'm on the subject of art, so the art in the main story for Ninja K 3 is by Thomas Giarello, I think is how you pronounce his name. And man, his artwork is just so incredible. A lot of people may know him from his previous work on Exo Manowar number 1, volume 3 number 1, I guess, the kind of the relaunch of Exo Manowar. And his style is not super clean, but it's heavy on the texture, so it really gives that sense of grit and you know, I know some of the pages are actually drawn by Roberto Della Torre, and so that's maybe the more kind of slick pages, if you will. And the colors are by Diego Rodriguez. I don't think I mentioned him, and they're very subdued, which suits the mood of the book. But the art is really strong, both from Chiarello and De La Torre. As I said, there's some of it is very slick and photorealistic and almost has a painterly quality to it. But then the flashback when Ninja C is telling his origin story, it's much more gritty. There's much more texture to it. But both styles, they suit the book so well. And the panel layouts and the layouts within the panels are both. They're not boring. They really do something other than just, you know, lay it out on a 9-panel grid, so to speak. So I think the art in this book is really strong. I particularly like the art when it's in the present day as opposed to the flashback. But that's just my own personal preference because, you know, I prefer art that's a little more on the clean side. So can't fault the art, can't fault the story. I really like, I read these three issues, Ninja K 1, 2, and 3, like back to back, earlier today, and I got done with issue 3 and I immediately wanted issue 4, wanted to read more. And my thought was just, wow, this is so amazing, surprising, innovative, just adding layers to the story, taking a cool idea, like cross James Bond with a ninja. And don't just have a, you know, two-dimensional villain like Jaws or Blofeld, you know, Dr. Evil from the Austin Powers franchise. You know, the villains here, it's not, everything is not so black and white. There's a lot of gray going on. There's a lot of questions to be answered. It makes for a super compelling story. Very, very, very well done. As I said, I believe the best work, best writing of Christos Gage's career, and I can't wait to read more. It's just amazing. I think the powers that be over at Valiant have to be very, very pleased with the quality of storytelling from Christos and Tomas and Roberto and Diego, because this is just some of the best storytelling, definitely the best Ninjak story that I've ever read. I can't wait to see where it goes from here. So super excited about Ninjak. Number 3 hits stands, as I said, this Wednesday, the 24th. So I encourage you to go and pick it up. And as I said, if you've never read Ninjak before, hopefully you can get your hands on Ninja K 1 and 2. And just dive right in. It's really, really worth reading. High quality for sure. So once again, I want to thank everyone for joining us. Please visit us at thecomicsourceblog.com for all past episodes of the podcast. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Also do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to keep up to date on all our conventions and when new episodes come out. Don't forget about our exclusive podcast over at LRM Online. The 9-panel grid comes out every Tuesday, covering a wide variety of topics and aimed at more of the beginning comic reader. So thanks for joining us, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.